We are in our series, our new series, Putting Christ First. As we told you a couple weeks ago, as an elder board, we decided to sit down and just really kind of craft and redesign what it is to be Hope Community Church. And so we changed our mission statement to Putting Christ First. And so we decided to do a series to go along with that. Obviously, we have taken our clues from the verse that is on the wristbands that we had made, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And so we certainly are looking forward to what God does as we really have a mission statement that all of us can wrap our head around and remember and recite, because it is putting Christ first, putting Christ first. All right, so that didn't go as planned. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about work and worship. Work and worship, all right? So as we begin to go into this series, we said that there were going to be a number of ways to kind of really connect with the content, all right? So number one, we encourage you to be here every single week. So this is week 3 of 6 messages. So you have this week and then 3 more. I encourage you to come the next 3 weeks if at all possible. If you can't, you can watch online live or at a later date. We also encourage you to read 3 chapters from a gospel every day. So if you read 3 Gospels from either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in 30 days, you'll have read all 4 of the Gospels. Now, you're a little bit behind, but you can still catch up. You can still catch up because the series is 6 weeks long. Now it's going to be 4 weeks long. If you start today, you still have time. You still have time. So I encourage you to do that. Maybe you just start in Matthew 1, 2, 3 today, tomorrow, 4, 5, 6, and just read through the Gospels, right? Also, we encourage you just as a way to remember and really connect with it is we've got these bracelets that are out in the lobby. You can pick one of them up. There's medium, there's large. Pick one up, wear it. Maybe it'll be an extra bonus for you. And maybe an opportunity to witness as well. Maybe some of you will say, what is that all about? Who is Christ? What is COL period 2.6-7? They don't even know what Colossians 2, 6, or 7 says. So I want to encourage you to do that as we break into a brand new season, I hope, for our church. And so today, again, we're going to talk about work and we're going to talk about worship. So I've got an aim, as I always try to do. I always try to have a focus and aim for the message, and it's this. The aim of this message is to look at work and worship from a biblical perspective. What does the Bible have to say about it? Now, you can read lots of books out there about work and about your specific line of work, but what does the Bible specifically say about it? And by work, I don't want you to see it as simply what you do out there or what you do in here, but as all of it. It's all encompassing. Every single one of us should see our work as worship. Our work is worship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 are 2 verses. If you really want to center on this idea in a bullseye, that would be it. Again, Colossians 3, 17 and 3, 24. Okay, so this sermon is not about working to get your salvation with God. This isn't about, okay, the more I do in church, the better my standing is with God. That's not how it works. Your standing with God, my standing with God, is determined by the work of Jesus Christ and whether or not we have applied that to our own personal lives. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is his righteousness now your righteousness? See, you can't work good enough, long enough, hard enough to earn God's favor. Not doing all of the good works in the world will take away one sin of yours or mine. It had to be a perfect sacrifice who died for our sins. So again, this sermon is not about working as a means of getting heaven because of it. So think about your work for a moment. Your work inside the church, your work outside of the church, is it meaningful to you? Some of you maybe have a job and it's not the greatest job. You wish you were in a different line of work. Others of you absolutely love your job. You love coming and doing what you do every day. And actually, vacation may even be hard for you because you just love your job that much. I know there's about a half of 1% of you that are probably like that. But does your work make a difference in your life and does it make a difference in the lives of others? So I'm convinced that if we will apply what we find today in Luke chapter 10 to our lives, that regardless of what you do for a living, your work can be more enjoyable to you and your work can be more beneficial to everybody around you, all right? So all of us, I trust, can learn something from this. So as we, of course, think about fathers, one of the greatest roles that any man will ever have is that of a father. So we certainly are not being very, very specific about fathers, but this message certainly applies to fathers as well as really anybody else. And so in the scripture in Luke chapter number 10, we have this interesting little story beginning in verse number 38. This is a story about Jesus during his time on earth coming to the home of someone that he knew, Mary and Martha. Also, Mary and Martha had a very, very famous brother who Jesus raised from the dead. What was his name? Lazarus, right? So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay, so we're going to see just a number of things here as it applies to work and worship. So go with me again. Luke chapter 10, first point is this, Martha's invitation. Martha's invitation. We read in Luke 10, 38, now it happened as they, that's Jesus and his disciples, went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Jesus and his disciples are going through the town where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, and Martha welcomes them in. She welcomes them and she brings them in. The word welcome is two words in the Greek. Hupodekomai. Say that with me. Hupodekomai. Listen, if you hang out with me for a while, you are going to be a Greek scholar in about 75 years. I'm still not there. But hupodekomai, it literally means this, to receive under. To receive under. Do you know that when you receive somebody into your home, in essence, what you're doing is you're elevating them above yourself. You're elevating them above yourself. You're welcoming them in and you're saying, you're above me. My job is to care for you, to help you, to bless you. Now I want you to think for a minute, if Jesus were to walk down the street in front of your house, would you welcome him in? Would you scurry about and clean up some things and get rid of some things and hide some things before you brought him in the house? Or would your house be an open book, if you will? Can I already give you a clue about reality? It already is. It already is. He's already there. He already sees. He already knows. He sees what's on your walls. He sees what's under your cupboards. He sees what's in that secret hiding. He knows all about it. And so here we have an invitation. Martha invited Jesus in, right? She said, all right, I'm gonna let you in my house and I'm gonna do something for you. You don't just invite somebody to your house and you just sit there and you walk away. Have you ever had that experience? I have. You walk in the house and people don't say, take off your shoes, don't take off your shoes, come in here and sit, can I offer you just something to drink? I mean, it's just like, okay, it's kind of weird, right? Because hospitality begins with an invitation, but it comes with expectations. You can invite somebody over to your house, like know what it is that you're gonna do, like have the space prepared, you know, offer them perhaps something to drink. There's an activity that perhaps you're going to engage in, right? So imagine if Jesus were literally in front of your house, would you welcome him? Would you welcome him in? I remember the story years ago when I first started to get to know my wife, Diane. She told a story of her dad. Her dad was not a Christian. Diane and Steve and others in the family came to know Jesus, and then eventually her dad did and became a pastor, my first pastor. And so the story goes that the church that they were all going to, other than her dad, they had a group of people that would go and they would visit people. They would visit people that were not currently coming to church, didn't know the Lord, and that's something that's really good, amen? We should do that. We should go and we should talk to people, like just plant seeds. And so one particular time, this person or persons went to Steve's dad's house, and it was dark, and he turned the lights off. He turned the lights off. And they came up and they knocked on the door and he didn't answer the door, but they could look in and they could see, because at the time he smoked cigarettes, they could literally see him smoking the cigarette. They could see the ember at the end of his cigarette, but he would not come to the door. He would not come to the door. Listen, some of you are in that place right now. You're like, I don't know if I want to invite Jesus or anybody that knows him into my house, but that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. If you're you know, at a place where you don't know for sure what you believe, this is a good place to be. It's a good place to be. If you're watching and you're searching, you're just not sure, it's a good place to be. So we see this invitation. Here's what I would say before we move on to the next point. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will not barge his way into your life. He comes by invitation. If you want Jesus to come in, it's like, right, just yesterday, matter of fact, I don't know, Brandon's probably out in the lobby, but my son-in-law Brandon has a friend. His name is Scott, and Scott's been here a few times, had the privilege of performing his wedding with his beautiful wife, Danielle, not long ago. And Scott texted me the other day and just said, hey, what is that verse? There's a verse that you used whenever I was at church last time, or he heard it somewhere. It's about, you know, something about Jesus being at the door and there's only a handle on one side. And it's like really Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, or have supper with him, have fellowship with him. So the door's only on the inside of your house. And if you want Jesus to come in, you gotta open that door. You gotta open the door. So here's the invitation, right? So here's the deal. Every single home is better with Jesus in it. Every single home is better with Jesus. If we bring Jesus into our home every single day, Jesus will improve every single person in that house. That's what he does. He changes lives. So we see Martha's invitation. She is the one who invited him in. Second of all, we see Mary's devotion. Look at verse 39. It says, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's Martha and Mary. What a contrast. How different. If you have a brother or sister, how different perhaps you are from them. There's just things that are unique about them. So here we see Martha invites Jesus in. As soon as he comes in, obviously he sits down, and Mary is like right at his feet. So literally, she's right at his feet. It literally means that she was close to him. Now, I don't know what that says about those of you who are sitting in the back rows, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because I'm not Jesus. I thought that was going to be really funny. But anyways, maybe that'll scoot a few of you a row or two closer. I don't know. Someone said years ago to me, you know, get close to the spout where the glory comes out. I don't know. But maybe you don't get too close because every now and then projectiles fly. I don't know. But here we see Mary's devotion. She sat closest to Jesus. She got as close as she possibly could. She wanted to take in every word. She heard his word. The word heard is the Greek word akouo, and it literally means to listen to gain understanding. She was intentional. Sometimes we're close to somebody and we don't want to hear what they have to say. Clue, if you're at a restaurant with a bunch of people, don't have your speaker on and carry on a conversation. Start carrying around a hammer, I would smash it. I hate that. I hate that. Okay, I'm not really that serious. But anyways, like she was intentional. She sat as close as she could because she wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Now listen, there is a difference between simply hearing and listening, and every woman in this room that's married or has kids knows exactly what I'm talking about. We can hear, we can listen. She wasn't just simply hearing, she was listening, she was tuned in, she wanted to know what Jesus had to say. This is how faith works in our lives. This is how faith works in our lives. So I'm gonna grab my phone. I don't know that I've ever done this before. I'm gonna grab my phone because I wanna pull up a couple verses that just kind of came to my mind that I don't know off the top of my head like I probably should. But as you think about the word, the Bible gives us a clue about what the word does in our lives. In the book of Romans, one of the most amazing books in the New Testament, the Bible gives us great clarity to understand how it is that we actually come into a place of receiving Christ as our Savior. In chapter 10, beginning at verse number 14, the Bible says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear, or believe in him rather, if they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? All right, so the word preach just means one that proclaims. It doesn't just mean like a pastor, someone in, on a podium. And then the scripture says this, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the way that we come into faith, personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is through hearing God's word. Now, by hearing, that's implying with your ears or with your eyes. You're reading it. That means that you're internally hearing it versus simply hearing it with your ears. Are you with me? Like, that's how you came to faith. That's how I came to faith. We heard the word, and then we responded to it. We responded to it. We responded to the gospel call that Jesus was calling us. Beautiful song we sang a few minutes ago, right? Jesus is calling us. Come out of the grave of death, dead in our sin. He calls us out and he saves us. He saves us. How does that happen? It happens as we take in the word of God. And then in the book of Ephesians, if you're taking notes, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 12. Here again, we have a great word from God. Paul is talking to a group of believers, and it's right in mid-thought. He says that we, that is who have trusted Christ, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, our life should reflect God's glory. If God saved you, your life should reflect his glory. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise, the glory of God. So we hear, we believe, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of us. He seals us. In other words, he preserves us until the day that we die and go to heaven. If you trust Christ as your Savior, it's not a matter of if you're going to heaven, it's a matter of when. Because he saves and preserves you. He saves and preserves you. So we come to faith by hearing, and then we grow. We grow by hearing. That's why coming to church like this is so very important. Coming together. Now, you can read on your own, and you should. But the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's a reason. Because there's power that comes through connecting with others and realizing we're not alone in our faith journey. And so church is very, very important. Listen, my wife went on vacation for 2 weeks. We went to church twice, and we listened to our live stream both weeks. Now, that doesn't make me any more spiritual than you, because you can do that, and it can go in one ear and out the other and mean nothing. But I'm here to tell you it's important that we hear God's word, that we take it in. And Mary was doing that. She was sitting as close as she could to the feet of Jesus. She wanted to hear what he had to say. Say, well, you know what, that book that you guys are so fixated on, the Bible. It's like a child's book. Yeah, guess what? And I'm a child of God. And so I'm going to take it in. I'm going to take it in because I need it. I need to know what my Father has to say to me. You say, oh, well, Pastor, you know, this is just one way to God. No, it's the only way to God. There are not multiple gods. There are not multiple ways to God. There's only one. Jesus put it best. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. If you want to go to the Father, if you want to go to God, you got to go, my friends, through Jesus. And Mary understands that. She wants to know Jesus more intimately. He is already her Savior. So we see Mary's devotion. Third, we see Martha's obsession and accusation. All right, notice, if you will, verse number 40. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Can you just see this picture? I mean, can you see this picture? So the scripture says she's distracted. The word distracted means that she's so consumed that she's like dragging around, just dragging her, just like, you know, she's like huffing and puffing and just like, she's looking at everybody else that's not serving, and she's just like, oh, man. And she gets so frustrated. that she says to Jesus, do you not even care? Do you not even care? And Mary is just sitting there at your feet, and here I'm doing all this stuff. Jesus, do you not even care? It's obviously she doesn't care. She doesn't care about me. Can you just get this picture in your head? That here's Martha is the one who's invited Jesus in. So therefore, she is the one who has obligated herself to accommodate him and his disciples. So can you just get this picture? She's like wiping the tables, and she's like, this is so stupid. I don't know why someone else is doing this. She's bringing the food, and she's like, here, do you want some or not? I got to go do something else. That literally is what this term distracted, it means that she's dragging around and she's distracted with much care. Maybe it's because she was a perfectionist. I don't know, but here's the deal, my friends. When we get distracted like this, we stop thinking clearly. That's why we would say things like this to Jesus. Do you not even care? Do you not even care, Lord? Can you just see this happening? Can you see this? Some of us know folks like this. I just literally was talking to someone before service about someone in the healthcare field that was, you know, performing a test on her, and the person is just like short, and you know, it's just like, man, what is the deal? You know, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed or what? Don't be that kind of person. I mean, I know sometimes your job is like, yeah, I wish it paid more, you wish you had a different boss, different hours, but I mean, like if you have a job, do it well, and there's a reason why we should. Again, those verses I gave you, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 24, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you do, do it as unto the Lord. Mary, or Martha, rather, she's obsessed. And then we see not only her obsession, but we see her accusation. She's accusing Jesus of not caring. Are you serious? Okay, so fourth and last point, we see Jesus' declaration. Look at verses 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So first I want you to notice that Jesus uses this idea of double speak. He says her name twice. You know, in Scripture, anytime we see God speaking to someone and using their name twice, it's a term of affection. It's a term of intimacy. It means that Jesus has a relationship with this person, and not only does he have a relationship with this person, he has something really, really important to say to them. Now, some of you parents, maybe you should try this with your kids next time they're in trouble, right? I can just imagine. Josh, Josh, right? Rachel, Rachel. I don't know, but it's important that we see this here. Jesus calls her by her name, not once, but twice. He calls her by this unique, personal name that he's called her many, many times. But now when he says it, he's wanting her to really come a little bit closer, to allow him to speak into her heart. And so he says, Martha, you are worried and you're troubled about many things. You're worried. That means you're anxious. It's like, This load that you have on yourself, it's not good for you. You put more on yourself than you should have. You know, the expectations you have for yourself are more than the expectations of your guests. We don't expect perfection. Why don't you stop following the, and I'm surmising, why don't you stop following the disciples around when they drop something to pick it up? It's not that important. There's something that's more important. Stop being so distracted. Stop being anxious. Stop being worried, if you will. Right? The word worried here is the idea of being anxious. The word trouble is to be disturbed. I mean, it's like really bothering her. You know, if we're not careful, this can creep over even into our service for Christ. We're serving in a given area, and we're just like, no one else is doing this. Here's my second week in a row of this. And it's, I know it's just human nature, but maybe there's a reason why that's the reality for you. I hope by the time we get through with this last point, you'll see that. So here's the deal. When worry and trouble come, peace leaves. When worry and trouble comes, peace leaves. At that point, you're not serving in the joy of the Lord. You're anxious, you're troubled, you're worried. Jesus isn't saying here, don't serve, don't prepare, don't clean before, don't be diligent. Jesus isn't saying do any of those things. He's saying don't be distracted by those things, because there's a reason behind the reason that you have for doing what you do. Fathers and mothers, it's important to work. It's important to have a clean house. It's important to pay the bills. It's important to cut the grass. It's important to do all of those things. But when you have kids in your house, does your house really have to be that clean? Do you have to have the best grass in the neighborhood? Do you really have to work that many hours? Your kids are going to be grown and out of your house like that. How do I know? Because it's happened 4 times and it's painful every single time. Invest in them while you can invest in them. You say, well, I'm doing it for their benefit. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not for yours? Love is not spelled L-O-V-E. It's spelled T-I-M-E. Martha was missing out on time with Jesus. He wouldn't be there long. Invest, invest, invest. He says again, one thing is needed, verse 42, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. That one thing. That one thing is needed. That one thing is essential. It's beneficial. It's most important. More important than anything else you do, Martha, what was it? Sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. Sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. This one thing is needed. This word needed that we find in verse 42, we find also in Acts chapter 20, verse 34, the Apostle Paul is talking about his work ethic, and he's like, what I needed to survive, I worked for it. This isn't his want list. This is his need list. He said, what I needed, I worked for. I made sure that I had it. Why? Because I needed it. Jesus here is saying to Martha, there's one thing that is needed, and your sister has chosen it above everything else. One thing. One thing. This one thing is what you and I were created to do. This one thing is the one thing that if we will do it, it'll help us to be better people and more beneficial to everybody around us. This one thing that will help us do everything we do better. This one thing. Our identity, my friends, is not defined by what we do. It's defined by who and what we make a top priority in our lives. And Jesus Christ should be top priority. Worshiping him should be head and shoulders above anything and everything else in your life. You worship Jesus as top priority, everybody else in your life benefits from it. Everybody benefits from it. Learn to sit at Jesus' feet and take in his life-giving word. Listen, we will never, as children of God, get to the place where we don't need to take in God's word. It's our nourishment. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how our faith explodes, right? It is life-giving, heart-changing, focus-directing word of Almighty God. Let it in. So we love him. We worship him. And then he floods our soul with truth and love and everything we need to live the Christian life. One thing is needed. Mary's chosen it. I'm not going to stop her, Martha. I'm not going to stop her. Jesus clearly is demonstrating through this who he is. He's saying, I am God. I'm worthy of Mary's worship. Are you with me? Like, there are people like, oh, Jesus never said he was God. Stuff like this totally proves it to me. Like, I'm not going to tell you, okay, yeah, you know, sit at my feet. Hey, there's nothing more important than sitting at my feet and hearing my words. I got nothing to say, my friends, unless it's from God's word. It's going to benefit you in this life and in the next. Like, you probably don't want home improvement tips from me or parenting tips from me. Well, maybe, I don't know, how to be a good husband. Hopefully I could be beneficial, but my friends, God's word is what changes and transforms us. So, in conclusion, as we wrap up this morning, I just have three bullets. I want you to think through these with me for a moment. So, in conclusion, number one, work apart from worship makes it an idol. Work apart from worship makes it an idol. That is preaching a sermon or digging a ditch. Do you know that preaching, being a pastor, can be an idol for me? If I'm not worshiping God and if I am not doing what I'm doing as an overflow of my relationship with God, my desire to please him, love him, serve him, this could be an idol for me. Your job could be an idol for you. Work apart from worship makes it an idol. When we do what we do as an overflow of our desire to be someone, please someone, or impress someone, it's an idol. Ouch. Number two, we should work as an act of worship, but not at the expense of worship. I don't want a single ministry leader who doesn't put worship first. If your job, if your role is more important than you sitting at Jesus' feet, taking in his words, please resign. We need that. How are we going to feed others? How are we going to bless others if we're not sitting at Jesus' feet? Sitting at Jesus' feet makes us better and everyone around us too. Worship-driven leaders, team members, church members, this is what propels us forward to be more useful for God's kingdom. Sitting at Jesus' feet, taking in his word. Taking in his word. Third and last, worship is what feeds our souls and fuels our service. An attentive student is the joy of his teacher. I don't know what kind of student you were in school, but for my first many years before I became a Christian, I don't know that I was a very good student. I don't know I was very attentive. I don't know that I really cared about what my teachers had to say. But I'm here to tell you, when I got saved and became a Christian at 16, my senior year of high school, and then going to college after that, man, I wanted to hear what my teachers had to say. I was all ears, all eyes. My body language proved it. I was literally sitting at the feet of my teachers. I wanted to hear what they had to say. Can you imagine how pleased our Heavenly Father is when we sit at his feet and take in his word, when it's important to us? We listen, we believe, and we adjust our way of thinking as a way to say, God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to be obedient to you. So, my friends, I don't know how this has impacted your life today. Maybe you see work in a little different way. I'm here to tell you, friends, that if we would put worshiping God first in our lives, it could transform your career. It could transform your marriage, transform your family life. It could change you and me. Now, just for a close, I want to share something that we're going to do in the middle of July. A series of teachings that I've done that really help people learn how God has designed or shaped you to serve him. Okay, so this is beneficial in church life. This is beneficial even in life outside of the church. And so we're going to be offering this shape class on two Wednesdays. You need to come both weeks. We're going to cover different material each week, July 12th, July 19th. Those are Wednesdays. We're going to do it from 6 to 8 o'clock right here on the grounds. We're going to provide free food from 5:30 to 6. So you can't say, oh, I can't do it. I got to eat. We're going to feed you. All right. So those two Wednesdays, July 12th, July 19th. Listen, whether you have served in the church since the day that we opened the doors, or you are here and you're maybe not even a Christian, or you're a new Christian, this is for you. We want you to sign up. We want you to say, yes, I'll come to those weeks. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby. I encourage you to put your name on there, contact information, and we will look forward to sharing this content that will help us all learn where we can serve or how to serve better in the capacity that we are. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the ability to look to your word and to see it as truth. And God, sometimes we look at your word and we see stories and we see examples, and sometimes we're like, why would you choose to put that in your eternal word? Why would you want people to read that? But God, to me, this is one of the times that we look at it and it's just crystal clear why you would. Because if we're honest, maybe we don't see work the way that we should. Maybe we overemphasize our work above and beyond our worship of you. But God, here now, I just want to say, Lord, if I've done that recently, I ask your forgiveness. I would never want my job or anything else I do outside of worshiping you to be a priority. So help me, God, today to sit at your feet and hear your word, to make it a priority to listen to you. It will only benefit me and everyone else around me. God, help us to do that, I pray. Lord, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that has never put their personal faith and trust in Jesus, today we saw that Jesus clearly is worthy of worship and received worship, because his word is eternal. His word speaks. And God, through that word, you change our lives. You show us who you are. You show us who we are, that we're sinners in need of being saved. Our sin is worthy of a wage. It's death. It's spiritual separation from you forever. But Lord Jesus, you came and you died for our sins. You took our place. And if we'll receive you and what you've done, your death, burial, and resurrection, if we'll receive that, you promise to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, to give us eternal life, to make us your son, to make us your daughter. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice, you've never put your faith personally in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do that right now? Would you just call out to him, God, come into my life, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved so that I can have a right relationship with you, so that I can go to heaven someday and be with you forever. So Jesus, please save me. I'm calling out to you. You said if I call, you'll answer. You'll save me. God, I thank you for maybe some who did that right now. They're now your son. They're now your daughter. God, help them to take their next step, telling somebody else, hey, I trusted Jesus today. Please, God, work in our midst, even now as we sing the last song. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.